Listen and stream the all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
Joining us this morning, a gentleman, he was with us recently, and he's joining us again. And this morning, our discussions, we're going to be delving deep into elections conduct. Senior lecturer at UWE Political Science, that's Dr. Bishnu Raghunath. Dr. Raghunath, good morning to you and welcome back to our program this morning.
Yeah, good morning. Pleasure to be here. Good morning to your viewers and listeners.
This morning we are speaking to you in your capacity as a political scientist, but also as chair of the Council for Responsible Political Behavior. You issued a statement over the weekend, and I know that, well, for more reasons than one, this matter has already dominated some of the discussions that we're having. There's a newspaper editorial about it this morning. Telecommunications has gotten involved. One radio and television station they've been forced to issue a statement on some of what's been coming out of the political campaign thus far. Let's begin, because we're heading up to the news. Tell people about the Council for Responsible Political Behavior, its mandate, and some of the people who make up this council.
Okay, so basically, in 2014, and we go back to 2014, several civil society organizations, the IRO, the Chamber of Commerce, the some trade unions, several civil society organizations, Transparency Institute and various other institutions, thought that the direction in which our political campaigning and issues on the platform were being discussed was going in the wrong direction. And they then decided to draw up a code of political conduct, ethical political conduct. After having drawn up that, and that was all in preparation for the 2015 general elections, having drawn up that, they invited all the political parties at that time to come in and endorse the code. So the PNM and the signatory then was Keith Rowley himself and Minister Franklin Khan at that point. Well, not sorry, he was the chairman of the party at the time. You had the UNC coming in, the COP, the ILP, and the NSG. They all came in and signed the code. The council was then set up, and in that, the council is now the body that was responsible to monitor adherence to the code. And the council comprises, at this point in time, I mean, we've had changes over the years. At this point in time, I am chair. Mr. Ralph Peter is the vice chair. Leela Ramdeen from the Catholic Commission for Social Justice is the secretary. Imam Imtiaz Ali from Ashja is one of the members of the committee. So too, Reverend Carly Pemberton, Dr. Gabriel Hussein, Dr. Beverly Beckers, Dr. Eastlyn McKenzie from Tobago, and Dr. Olabisi Kuboni. So we all make up the members of the council. At this time, we have the responsibility now to monitor and the parties. And our concern is simply we are still civil society. Of course, we are recognized by the political parties. Up to the 2021 Tobago House of Assembly elections, all the political parties, including, well, Fali Augustine signed for the PDP at that point in time, Tracy Davidson signed for the PNM, and others signed. So all the political parties signed on to the code when we went into the 2021 THA election. So as far as we are concerned, the majority of parties, yes, there are one or two parties in Trinidad who had point blank refused to sign on to the code, but as far as we are concerned, most parties have recognized the importance and relevance of the code, and they are agreed to participate and to allow themselves to be monitored. Now, question. If they breach the code, then what happens? Well, we have no punitive measures that we could place on any political party. It is moral suasion is all that we have available to us. But what we also do, and this is one of the reasons why we do issue the media releases and so on, is that we inform people that if, for instance, a party breaches the code, we first call upon the party to explain themselves if they can. And if they cannot, well, then we simply advertise it. When I say advertise it, in a media release, we give it to the media and says, look, this party is in breach of the code. And this is in this context that they have breached the code. And we leave it up to the citizenry, because the parties have signed onto the code. They have endorsed the code. As far as we are concerned, that's a social contract they have with the citizenry.
I know that 9 years ago when this was launched, it was launched with great fanfare, and there was a lot of coverage in the media. I remember clearly what took place back then, and the message that it was sending to our politicians about how they could behave. We're heading close to the news. It's about a minute again. When we get back after the 8 o'clock news, I want you to explain exactly what the code is. What does the code mean, and some of the tenets that these political parties that signed on to, what are some of the things they should be upholding? Because already we descended into some kind of chaos already, and people saying some kinds of things that you know, raising more than just a couple eyebrows. So we'll get to that just after the 8 o'clock news. With us this morning, political science Dr. Bishnu Raghunath, speaking to us this morning as in his capacity as chair of the Council for Responsible Political Behavior. Stay with us.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
3.5 minutes after 8. To the final hour of our show, with us, Dr. Bishnu Raghunath. And before we went to the break, I'd asked him to explain to us the code of conduct, the political code of conduct for our political parties. And now we're into a local government election campaign. This is going to be more important for us to understand what this code means and what it entails and some of what should be adhered to. So, Dr. Raghunath, tell us, what is this code of conduct?
The code of conduct is really a code that we had developed. That, in fact, I shouldn't say we, because I was not part of the development process. I was simply called afterwards and invited to, if I would serve on the council and then chair, and the council elected me to chair. But the code was developed with the intention of trying to get people to talk about issues rather than personalities, to promote democracy, to promote participation in elections, to promote the fact that we want clean campaigning, not mudslinging, and for simple things that to be respected. So for instance, the simple thing, we see at election time, for instance, people posting up their posters all over the place. They go on people's walls and post up their various parties, post up their, paste their posters on and stick them on and whatever else. There's a responsibility after that. After the election, you're supposed to take it down. The question is, or the fact is, that people don't do those things. Then we talk about the issue of mudslinging and character assassination. And in our society like ours, where we have race considerations, there's always that notion that people will take things to another level and become racist and openly racial and incite people to adopt racist perspectives. And the code was literally trying to tell people, no, we should not be doing those things. We should campaign on issues. We should focus on the issues. We should focus on those aspects of the code that we think that is most relevant. Those aspects of an election campaign that is most relevant, but that would uplift the society rather than drag it down to a level where it doesn't make sense to live here anymore. And that's the context in which the code was developed. So yes, we promote human rights, we promote democracy, we want no violence, we want peace in our elections, but we want respect for people. And that's basically what the code was attempting to do.
Do you think our politicians are upholding this code?
To some extent, we have to say no, they have not been upholding it. Now, I told you, we would have stated before, that the code was started way back in 2015, in 2014. In the 2015 election, I could tell you, based on our findings, that there were several instances when political parties breached the code. And on breaching the code, at that point in time, we had, whenever a breach occurred, we wrote to the party. And in fact, I will use the one example of a Rudal Munilal. Rudal Munilal went on a platform, and after we had indicated that he had breached a code, and he told the listeners on the political platform, I have been cited by the Council for Responsible Political Behavior. They say I have breached a code, so I will attempt here to now make sure that in my presentation hereafter, I do not breach the code. Now, that was one instance that I could immediately tell you that this was an instance where Rudal Munilal took responsibility. There have been other instances where politicians have refused to take responsibility for their words, and they continue to act in a manner that literally breaches the code. Now, as I said before, we can't do anything. All we can do is tell the population this is what is happening. And in telling the population this is what is happening, we leave it up to the population to treat with that issue, but we cannot do anything about it. So from some perspectives, yes, we have seen where parties recognize that they have been called upon to ensure respect, tolerance, harmony, and so on. And they have done it. Some of them have actually raised their moral standards in their campaign. Some of them, not all of them. And that is the context in which, as I think Archbishop Harris in 2015 would have said at our launch, we don't expect this thing to change overnight. This is a work in progress. And we are hoping that over time, more and more people will come on to the belief that we need to raise the standards of our election campaigning, and they will then fall in line, and that people will be critical of them. We note, for instance, there were several instances when political parties, and I say political parties and their supporters, would have breached the code. So for instance, and if I go back again to 2015, you may recall in 2015 or sometime around thereabouts, there was at one of the rallies of one of the political parties, there was a skit where people were dressed in a particular way and others came in and tore their clothes off them and so on. And we said that is not acceptable. The party admitted that it was not in the best interest, and because it could have led on to other types of behavior that we did not want. So that's the context in which we have said we want the code enforced. We may recall to, for instance, in 2020, I think it was, when the PDP in Tobago and Mr. Duke had made certain kinds of statements, on, I think it was the Friday night or the Saturday night before an election. And after making the statements, of course, the PDP did lose the election, but Farley Augustine did come out and apologize. So from those perspectives, we have to say that we have had incremental success. We haven't had the kind of success that we would like, but this is a work in progress, and hopefully more and more people will respect the code.
Well, unless this becomes something that is legally binding one way or the other, and that might be a long, long way off from becoming a reality, suasion really is all that the council has. And it's a step in the right direction, as you've outlined. But let's get into some of the nitty-gritty, and you can itemize for the listener. What are some of the things that the politicians and political parties commit to do or commit to not doing as part of this code, as being signatories to the code?
Okay, so when we look at the code itself, what have they committed to do? First thing, we can say they commit to the highest moral principles and ethical standards of conduct. Again, everybody will define for themselves what their moral principles and ethical standards would be, but we will hope that there is some common acceptance of what is morally right and what is ethical. In that regard, we go on to say, okay, fine, can you enforce and promote respect, tolerance for people? I mean, we have different people, we have different political parties. Can we have tolerance? Can we have harmony and peace among supporters? Now, I mean, to some extent, we have demonstrated that we can have that. I remember, for instance, years ago, in an election, the Saturday before an election, two political parties were crossing paths, and people were in taxis from one political party leaning over and shaking their hands from the people on the other maxi taxis. And that's the kind of respect and tolerance that we want. I don't care which party you belong to, we're still friends. But that's the respect and tolerance that the parties are supposed to promote. Now, question, do some of the statements that we hear from the political platform promote that, or do they promote divisiveness? And we have to say that we have to refrain. The parties also commit to refraining from promoting divisiveness, whether it be cultural, social, organizational, whatever. Prevent and do not promote that divisiveness. We talk about political parties, and we've noted it already. So, for instance, even in this campaign, although the campaign has not officially been launched, but we hear people referring particularly to other people in other political parties. And I mean, we used the example, I think, earlier on, where a radio station had to put a ban on a particular member of parliament. And what we want is the criticism, not of the people, but criticize the party, criticize the policies, criticize their programs, but don't go into hitting the people and mudslinging and those sorts of things. And that's what they committed to do. They committed to upholding the integrity of the whole electoral process. And that's one of the things that, you know, we have elections have always been conducted peacefully, and we are grateful for that. We want to make sure that the electoral process is also, the integrity of the electoral processes is maintained. And simple things, you know, there are laws. So, for instance, on election day, you can't wear a jersey with a party insignia on it. Those are things that we have to kind of promote, and the parties have to promote that, and the parties have to tell people how they're going to deal with that. So it is in that context that we talk about what the parties have committed to, and those are some of the things that the parties have committed to.
Speaking, we're talking about conduct, and we're talking about the code that should dictate to politicians and political parties how they operate. It's sad that we have to get to the point where we need a code to tell these boys and girls, listen to me, that things you really shouldn't be saying on the political platform, because as professionals, they should be able to self-regulate themselves. As we've seen in the past, we've had political adversaries who got their points across but did not have to descend into the gutter politics that we see today. But as someone like yourself, who's been, you've been monitoring politics in this country for a long period of time, you've been able to see the heights and the lows of our political system and of our politicians. It seems to me, Dr. Raghunath, that at this point in time, the nastier you are, the more crude, more crass, more borderline obscene that your comments are on the platform, the more you are upheld. The more popular you become, the more it seems as though people, you know, resonate with your comments. Am I wrong to come to this conclusion, or is this a, just a mirror of what we have in society, where some people believe that unless I get down into the trenches and call it all kind of nasty dirtiness, I can't get my point across?
Well, the point about it is that we have descended into this loop, and it is not that this is what you have to do. There are ways in which you could carry out you could say the same thing. But I mean, again, it is part of our culture. So, for instance, I remember some years ago, I was on one of the morning shows, on one of the television shows, I think it was, and a caller called in, and I was talking about the same quote, and a caller called and say, "Why all you don't stop and shut up and get out of here?" And the reason being, we like we bacchanal in the politics, and you want to take away we joy from the politics. And I said, it's not that we want to take it away, but do we really need to get into the gutter politics and the nastiness and so on, and the mudslinging all the time? Or do we need to start thinking progressively what is best for our country as a whole? Elections is not about the gutter politics. It's not, elections are about not making racist allegations and statements and so on. Elections about, at the end of the day, what are we voting for? We voting for a party, or we vote for a candidate who would now go in there and implement policy that will make our lives better. Now, I am not saying that you can't have the Pekong and whatever else. Yes, you could have Pekong, but there are levels to which you have to go, and you should not descend below those levels. And you could make your point without having to go below those levels. I mean, when you listen to some of our old politicians, they could have said the worst of things. When I say worst of things, I mean, it could have been so negative to an opposing candidate or party. But, you know, they never descended into the nastiness that we hear of today.
But,
and that's the context in which we need to build on this thing.
There was a level of decorum, a level of professionalism with which they approached the thing. Speaking on a platform, yes, they would get their points across. They could be as mean as the next person, but they didn't have to be so obscene, so crude, so crass in how they say. But is it just politics, or is it across the board? When you look at social media today, social media has given so many people the impression that they can say and do whatever they want about people, be as nasty, be as vile, be as disgusting and disgraceful, be as obscene as they want to, with no repercussions, to the point where some people feel they have a right now to talk that way and to behave that way. There's one call the radio station and get on the same way they're getting on social media. And when you put a stop to it, they want to tell you all kind of different nonsense about your bias and your this and your that and the next and the other. But is it politics alone? Or is it society in general that has degenerated to this point where we can't say things without being civil to one another? We have to be nasty. We have to be. And unless we are nasty, any nastier, we don't feel we can get the point across.
But it is not that the society has generated or degenerated to that level. Yes, there is some level of degeneration. And social media has given people the shade and the curtain to hide behind and say the nasty things. And they have used it effectively. Many people use names that are not related to theirs, pseudonyms, whatever else you want to call it. Some people are bold and brave enough to use their own names. For instance, I saw very much so recently, in fact, one of the complaints that have already reached us is simply where somebody was from a media personality was using the most vile, crass, crude, racist statement. And that came across our desk. But the point about it is that here's a person making the statement. The person did not say or did not relate to political party X or political party Y. So we can't chastise the party. We know, however, based on the person's history, which political party they would have supported. But the point about it, they're doing it on their own. And this is where that's one of the other things that political parties commit to do with the court. And they commit to try to rein in their membership, their supporters, telling their supporters what they should and should not do. Now, question, do political parties really do that? Now, they may do it publicly, and is it that there's an underground network that telling them, well, go and do this? And, you know, for instance, we saw the issue coming up most recently when we had those voice notes coming out of Tobago, where the party in government were literally saying that we're going to hire people to go out there and spread certain propaganda and whatever else. Now, obviously, that was not going to be done publicly, but the party was doing it under the surface. And that is one of the challenges that we face. And we have to get the political parties now to at least start thinking that at the end of the day, this is Trinidad and Tobago. This is a country that we all have to live in. And when you continue to perpetuate that kind of divisiveness and ugliness, then it will impact upon how we live beyond the election. And that's our real challenge. And that's what the code and the founding organizations which developed the code was trying to prevent.
I know that our time this morning is very limited, but given that we are heading into the throes of an election campaign, local government, albeit nonetheless, these election campaigns, they descend into a level of nastiness many times that really and truly highlights how far gone some sectors of our society are, and how far some of us are willing to go to get our point and to achieve an agenda. And it's sad that we revel in these things. The more bacchanal, the more outlandish the allegations, we like them. But for persons who are listening in as we wrap up our discussion this morning and would like to report, somebody has an issue, who can report to the commission, and how do they go about doing so?
Well, we invite, we have an email set up, info@politicalethicstt.org. That email has been set up, it is working. And anybody, the reason why we use emails too is simply because, you know, you could submit with your email photographs, if you have video recordings, if you have audio recordings, whatever you have, we would want you to submit it to info@politicalethicstt.org. In the instance that you cannot do that, many people will want to call. There is a phone number that we have, 6666-622-6680. People could call that number and say that they want to lodge a complaint. Once they may not take the complaint at that number, they'll take a report that there's the need to lodge a complaint, and we will get back to them and give them our private cell numbers and let them submit whatever they want to submit. But yes, we are willing to listen to people. Please call us if you wanted to make a complaint, or if you could send your complaint in immediately through the email, please do so.
Dr. Abel, I want to thank you this morning. I'm sure that as we go along with this campaign unfolding as it is, and we're going to be hearing more and more and more about it, we will speak to you again about the work that the council has been doing and some of the reports that you may or may not get, and some of the things that you've been monitoring and noticing on your own, because I'm sure that as the campaign goes along, the council will be monitoring on its own, looking at media reports and the various meetings and everything else, and coming to its own conclusions on some of the things that are taking place. I want to thank you for being with us here this morning and giving us an insight into this element of our politics that many people should become more aware of if they're not aware of already, and utilize most definitely. Thank you once again for being with us.
It's been my pleasure, and if I may close by saying, with social media now, we cannot see, read and see everything.
Mm-hmm.
What we will follow is mainstream media. But if people have anything that they don't see in mainstream media, you know, mainstream media still doesn't cover everything. If there are instances where mainstream media may not have covered something and people may have information about it, please let us know, because we can't see everything and we won't know everything.
No.
So thank you very much for having me on your program.
Definitely my pleasure. That's where we drop the curtains on this interview here this morning. And trust me when I say to you, you'll be hearing much more about this as the election campaign runs its course, because we always have those issues. Persons at liberty for their mouth, saying all different kind of things and getting themselves in a whole set of problems. This council, of course, is going to be monitoring closely all that transpires.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.